Welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion group at Bruins Christian Fellowship. We are in, today we're going to be studying in still Matthew chapter 5. And where did we get, buddy?
To 31? We should start at 31.
We started at 31. No, we're moving right along. And where did we go to?
We didn't read 31.
We just went down to 31.
Oh.
We didn't actually go any further than that.
Okay, well, do you want to start at 31 today and go on a little further?
Yeah.
It's all up to you guys. Anybody got anything that they still want to?
Say something or what?
Do what?
A breath like he was going to say something.
No, I'm just trying to stay alive over here.
Starting at 31.
I heard a guy talking about it. All right, talking about when you feel upset. The reason they say, take a deep breath, let it out, it's because you're
this
breathing.
This calms you down.
If you're breathing in the spirit of God.
Yeah, you are.
All righty. So I'm to read. Do you want me to start at 31 and amplify?
Absolutely.
Do you know how far to go, or you just stop me as I go?
I have to walk in my.
All righty. But I tell you, whoever dismisses and repudiates and divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unfaithfulness, sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who has been divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to men of old that you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oath to the Lord as a religious duty. I want some explanation for the one I just read, 31, about divorce, wives. Any input, Brother Oscar?
You want me to explain that?
Unless
I'm still married. I've never been divorced.
He has no experience.
I've been divorced.
No,
I can try and explain it. I've been twice, so I can.
We need somebody with experience in that.
So how do you...
No, I'm just kidding.
So how do you...
What do I say about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe that when you get married, what is part of the vows that you say when you get married?
To death do us part.
Well, there's other ones, so.
Yeah.
What the Lord has done what? Joined together.
Let no man
put asunder.
Oh, yeah, many times we
and did the Lord join you together, or didn't he? Was it you joining each other together?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean, basically. And you have to realize, too, this is going to sound weird when I say this, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gospel of the kingdom, but it's the Old Testament, see?
All right.
And you say, well, what do you say that for, Oscar? Well, I'm going to tell you. Because until the tester died, the other part didn't come into effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your last will and testament is just a piece of paper, mm-hmm. It's just the letter of the word, until there's a death. Once there's a death, then that letter becomes active. And everything that Jesus said in here was still, basically, he was still under the old covenant. Now, and that, like, that might not, you know, he might find, you know, might not agree with that, but that's the truth. Because if you read on up later on, when Paul talks, he says, accept the test or die, you know, there's no effect there. I mean, he basically explains it. And, you know, a lot of people get upset because they read stuff in the Gospels. He's talking to people who were under the law. You know, he's talking to the Jews in most of this. And it's also to us, because he's, we're also a Jew, because we've been circumcised in part now. But that's why we can look at this in a different, from a different light than what they were looking at it back then, because he hadn't given his life yet.
Right.
So that was still the Old Testament. They were still operating under the Old Testament. And it didn't happen until after he was crucified and raised again. Then the New Testament took
effect.
See? So I don't know if that helps or not, but I will say this too, is that under the grace of God, God can forgive or move on from any situation. You know what I'm saying? But the letter, remember this, the letter does what?
Kills.
The spirit does what? Gives life. So I don't know if that helps you or not, but that's.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I was going to say it before. He eventually got to it. I said that the one that was paying the price hadn't died yet. But when he died, that all changed and went into effect.
Right.
But then yet grace kicked in, like we see it happen to all of us.
Right.
And, you know, because where was it? It said, shall we continue to sin? And then he said, oh, God forbid. But his grace had kicked in. And we know, I don't think it was how long we were held. When the law was there, none of us could live it. You know, none of us.
Right.
But when grace kicked in, I thank God for grace because it freed a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it freed the churches yet, but it freed a lot of people.
Well, and even when you realize, you know, I've been really shocked. I mean, I've actually been shocked that so many ministers that I've known of have gotten a divorce and married somebody else. I mean, you know, I'm saying, you know, they were married to a person for a long time, and they were actually a minister, you know, and had, you know, had pretty deep word, and they left their wife and went with someone else, you know. Now, I don't know. I don't think that's setting a good example for other people in that sense, but you know, I don't condemn them either because, you know, if God's okay with it, who am I to judge them? I can't judge them, you know. I'm not going to judge them. But, you know, I mean, some of the people, their wife had been in ministry that I know of, had been in ministry for years, you know, with them, you know. And then all of a sudden they go their separate way, you know.
And you don't know why or the reason for what happened in their marriage. What was going on,
right?
You know,
you never know.
There
yeah,
was
yeah.
any agreement between the two of them
yeah.
to separate? And
yeah,
so you don't know.
No. I'm just saying, you know, you never know, but it is kind of shocking when you know people been in the ministry together for many years and then all of a sudden you think, wow, you know, they got a divorce, they're with somebody else. You know, it's kind of shocking a little bit because you figure, man, they was probably praying together all the time, you know, and they're just like everybody else. They fuss and fight and do everything else that everybody else does too. You know, they're not no different than anybody than the rest of us. Sometimes we have a tendency that we put more on those people than what we should put on them, you know what I mean?
And they should be more holier.
Yeah,
such.
Right.
And it's not so.
And you know what? There's none of us holy except for the holiness of the Lord that's in us.
True.
Be ye holy. And he's the only one that can make us holy. And, you know, we sure can't make ourselves holy, that's for sure. If we do, then we're reverting back into the religion, you know, just, you know, like the Pharisee, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week, and I do this, and I do that, and I do something else. And Jesus said, one guy beat his head, you know, beat his bosom and stuff and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, who do you think went down justified? You know.
The humble one.
That humble one, that's right. The one who said, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, so, anyway.
This is a hard thing for me to look to understand.
Yeah. What's that?
This verse.
That verse
two, these two verses, because I've had situations in my life, not only with just myself, but with my family,
yeah.
where this if this was adhered to 100%, their life would never have gone the way it did. And I'm one of them. Because I went through two divorces, and if you know.
Well, let me put it to you like this. Was you unequally yoked together with that person? You know, we're not supposed to be unequally yoked together, you know, we're supposed to be. But see, you weren't a Christian at that point. You hadn't committed your life to the Lord, had you?
No.
And the person you was with probably hadn't committed their life to the Lord, had they?
Not that I know of.
Well, and that's where that vow that you say when you get married, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Well, sometimes I don't know that God joined you two together. Mm-hmm. Now, he might have, for a season, allowed you to be with that person. And, you know, a lot of people today don't get married. They live together.
Yeah.
Well, they're married. Whether they know it or not, they're married. They committed to each other. They're married, you know. But, you know,
well, the
some
other
people think because they haven't went and had a legal, you know, a legal
job,
wedding.
Yeah. Well, the
I
other,
mean, and you go to Africa and some of the places like that, then they used to jump over a broom or something? Or
I don't know.
Stuff, and you were married. You jumped over a broom. You was married. Well,
the other one, the other part of it is, my father, when my mom died, about 4 or 5 years later, he met another lady, and they wanted to get married, and they couldn't find anybody who would marry him because she had been divorced. Of course, this was in the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Well, the Catholic Church was dead set against that.
That was the law.
Yeah, that was the law.
Clyde, did you have something?
I was okay until you said that. Once you said that, I got mad at somebody. Me. Anyway.
Got mad when somebody said what? What part of that or did you get mad at?
Well, I was already sitting over here knowing that your dad didn't get happiness because the Catholic Church wouldn't let him.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful that the ones that are sitting in this room right now knows that the love of God cannot be compared, and it, we might as well say that's what never fails. Jesus never fails. The love of God never fails, and everybody has their ups and downs, but the only one we have a standard by, I don't care who it is, the only one we have a standard by, his name is Jesus Christ, and we all come up short in that, but we also win victory in that. Now we can keep our minds on the things that we come up fault with it, or we can enjoy his presence more and more and more, because the more we enjoy his presence, the more merciful we become, even to our own selves. Mm-hmm. We find forgiveness in our heart for ourselves, because he said that we should love one another as Christ loved the church, love our wives like that, but the whole thing comes down to we should love ourselves. And, you know, there's a lot of things in my life, and I won't mention any of them, that I've give up because I wasn't loving myself. I mean, you know, it stopped me from even thinking I could. But thank God for his grace and mercy that it goes so far beyond that. You know where the scripture in Romans, it says, what shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? The answer is always the same. You can say nothing in a lot of ways, I mean, however you want. But once we accept there's nothing can separate us from the blood of Jesus Christ. Especially once we invite it in. That's what we invite into. We call them homes, but this is the house. This is the house. This is our home. This is where God reigns. And if he reigns in our heart, then we get to reign with him. You know, I like how Oscar says, it's not just Christ in you, but it's you in Christ. I mean, and once we take that step, I think that just takes all that we've carried before and just let it go. And if we can't let it go, at least put it at his feet, because then we know it's at the proper place.
Well, let me say this to you, Mike. Scripture says that he took, this is talking about Jesus, and this is not in the Gospels here, but it's up in the other parts of the Bible. It says he took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and he nailed them to the tree. Now, what does that mean? That means that did he... See, you can't say that the law wasn't righteous, because the law was righteous. If you could fulfill the law and do everything that was in the law, you know, you was a perfect man. But you couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. And Scripture also said that if you offend in one point of it, or you sin in one point of it, you're guilty of what?
All
of it. So what does that mean? He concluded all under sin, that he might have what? Mercy on all, you know. And our righteousness has nothing to do with us. Our righteousness is an imparted righteousness from him. You know, he took our place on the cross. That's why we're to consider, reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And that's why the scripture says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Not I, see, and that's where we got to start getting the I out of there. Not I, but Christ, see, the Christ in you. And that's the recognition of the presence of God inside of you. And the law will bring condemnation upon you because you can't fulfill it. That's why that he had to write and say that basically, you know, the handwriting of ordinances that were against you, he nailed them to the tree. And that's where grace comes in, the divine influence of his life inside of you, working out of you, and causing you to be righteous in his eyes. When he looks at you, he doesn't see the old Mike, he sees his son, Jesus Christ, that nature of him inside of you. Because he's inside of you, he is that nature, you know. Does that help you any with that?
Oh, yeah.
And with your father, that's because he was operating under a system that was super legalistic and super religious, yeah, as far as the world was concerned, in the sense that if you didn't do everything that we were supposed to do, what was supposed to be going to happen to you? You was going to burn in hell, or you was going to go to purgatory, one of the two. Wasn't that right?
Yeah.
Well, oh, that's right. And what did I preach about last week? You weren't here, so you should go back and listen to my sermon last week. And I'll touch on that a little bit again this week. But last week, I told him that in Isaiah chapter 28, he said, you've made a covenant with hell and with death.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the religious system out there has made a covenant with hell and death. They can say they haven't, but they have. Because they talk about it all the time. And a lot of Christian people say, well, nobody preaches about hell anymore. You know, I can't believe they ain't preaching about hell. Right on farther down in Isaiah, he says, and I'll break your covenant. I'm going to break your covenant with hell and with death. And he's broke the covenant. When he ascended, and I mentioned this last week, and I don't preach the whole sermon again, but when I mentioned this last week, when they went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. So what did that mean? There was no death in that tomb anymore.
Right.
Because life had busted out of there. And in each one of our lives, we've had stones rolled in front of our gravesite, so to speak, with all of our traditions and all of our religious things, and grandma said this, and grandpa, and I've got that old time religion and all that kind of stuff to a certain extent. And you know, if you ain't following all of those criteria, then you're going to hell, buddy. I mean, that's what you're told out there almost. And you know what? He's broken that covenant. He's going to break it in all of religion out there eventually. They're going to have to come to realize that he came not to condemn, but he came to give life to the world and life to man, you know, the new man, the new creation man. I'm not going to because I was sitting here thinking.
I found in my journey, in my walk, that how God's love covers.
Right, it does.
You know, it covers all these, we call them sin, but shortcomings, failures, things that have come up. Still he's covering, because daily there's things that you've done or said that's not pleasing
to God. Yes.
But you can't condemn yourself in these. I know I have before. Oh, here I am again doing this. And you're fine. And I found you cannot make yourself do what is right and pleasing to God. You can't make yourself in these areas. But I just found that it's made me depend on him more. And looking at these things, even weeping over some of them sometimes, and knowing how faithful, it makes me about cry, because how faithful I have found him in covering me in his love and his forgiveness. Then I'm saying, continue to make me, Lord, continue to like us.
If we didn't have that, we'd be living under guilt all the time.
I know it. Mm-hmm. I know it.
And you have to realize that as you go through the scriptures, it's a building. You know, the revelation that Paul and all them had, it was a gradual building. God kept revealing more and more and more to them as they wrote these scriptures, you know. Because some of them you could read them and you could think, oh my goodness, you know, that I'm not good in that area or something, you know what I mean? But then Paul turns around and says in Romans 7, he says, that which I would not do, I'm ever doing, you know. That which I would do, I don't do it, you know, and all this kind of stuff. You know, and he goes back and forth. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this thing? I thank God, Jesus Christ, basically. That's what he was saying. He did deliver you from it. He delivered you from the guilt and the shame and all that. That's what, you know, those songs, people don't realize sometimes, those songs we sing out there, you know, those songs are inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Their sermons, if you really take them to heart and listen to the words, they're sermons in themselves every Sunday when we sing those things. And buddy, if we could just really grab a hold of them things and really, you know, put them into action, so to speak, on all areas of our life, wow, what a difference it would make in our lives and in other people's lives too.
You know, I'm just glad that Jesus Christ wasn't a stumbling block.
Right.
For us to stumble upon.
Right.
It's no accident that he was the cornerstone. The cornerstone that we could all go to never have stumbling in our life. And all the correction of stumbling was in the past. And he goes, like what she said, like, she didn't want to say sin or whatever.
Yeah.
But I go, like, what sin?
No,
that, really, that's what Jesus says, right?
Mm-hmm.
What sin? And he goes, like, it's because in him, it's a fresh and a new. That's why I love his mercies. They're new and fresh. How many days?
Look.
Every day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His mercies are new every morning.
Great is
the thing. And I mean, you know, it's hard not to rejoice in that. And the only thing I think that we're having trouble in rejoicing is because we're always thinking about the past.
Mm-hmm.
I got news for you. What's it say about pressing toward the mark? Forgetting those things that are behind.
Oh, yes.
And reaching or pressing toward that mark. That mark is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Once we attain that, I almost look at the woman that had the issue of blood. When she pressed toward that mark was him. If I can but touch the hem of his garment. And what did he say? Who touched me? And his disciples, what? This crowd is pushing up against you? Who touched me? But she touched him because she needed the virtue. Because that's what his next words were. He said, I felt virtue leading me.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
My goodness. How about us feeling virtue who comes inside of us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you think it's about time to put that on? Let that have its domain within our lives? I mean, I'm trying to get happy here. And I'm going to quote a scripture in Romans, the 8th chapter, the very first verse. For now there is no condemnation
yes.
who those who walk with Christ Jesus... who walk no longer after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I seen that set my brother free. And that was enough for me, because right then I knew what the word of God's supposed to do. Not put us in captivity, but put us in freedom. Freedom to worship, freedom to go on, freedom to get past what has been. Just press, press. And it's like, you know, I'm going to talk about something I don't know. It's like running a marathon, you know, and you practice to run a marathon. But even in practice, you got tired, right? That was the whole thing. You were getting tired. But what did you do? You pressed on. And you pressed on. And even when you stopped to help the guy, his encouragement, you encouraged him, but he also encouraged you, you go on. Press on, press on.
Can I jump in for a second? I want to go back to, it says, you know, if you're going to divorce your wife, give her a writing of divorcement. Women were second-class citizens back in those days. But since that time, and that was eating up the wrong tree right there. But now, these nowadays, it has changed. I'm not gonna say most, but 50% at least of divorces come from women wanting divorce. They're tired of being treated. Some of them have husbands who are, you know, treat them like second class citizens or abuse them or whatever. Of my husband, I could say, I don't think he saw either one of them coming. They were the wives. Mike was willing, I believe, to, and I've heard him say, he's told me, you know, he would have carried on that until he died, no matter how he felt about it. Mike was not saved at that time, and Mike was not saved when we got married, but he was saved shortly afterwards. And I can say that during my sickness in this last year, I have truly found out what laying down someone's life for me feels like. Because he did. He laid his life down for me. I could feel it every hour of every day. And that was not the same Mike that was given a writ of divorcement by his wife back then, one unsaved person to another. These things are not even in the same universe as we live in. When we are two Christians, both adoring our Lord and our Savior and wanting to be only just like Him, committed to growing and worshiping our Lord, I have found in Him the Christ with skin on, who loves me beyond anything. And it makes me realize this is not a game we're playing. This is This is the reality that we have been born into. And so I like you a whole lot.
Well, good.
So do I.
Better.
You're all right,
you know, buddy. I think I have been taken into a new place.
That's good.
Of spirituality because of him being recognizing a servant.
So see, now you're with whom God has put you with.
Always.
Right.
Always. It was always God's plan.
Yes.
That's where I like in the scripture where it says a helpmate.
Your first mate is not really like in shipping or, you know, in the naval. First mate is not less than. He is a needed, you know, giver of information.
I'll use your words, one that comes alongside,
yeah,
to be a stabilizing influence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I like that. That's how it is. Mm-hmm.
We are all so blessed. But anyway, what were you talking about before that, Clyde? Or would you like to go on?
What was 30? Wasn't we at 34?
Nope.
We did not
talk.
Oh. We did, yeah, because I asked questions. I read two scriptures and.
Well, I read ahead because I wanted to know what the difference was between swearing and forswearing. Forswearing, when I looked it up in the Strong's, means to perjure yourself.
Oh.
So it's saying, don't get up and promise the Lord stuff and then not do it.
But it also says that don't take an oath with God. You know what? I believe God knows our heart.
Right.
And if we'll be quiet and listen, he'll reveal it to us. Now, I'd rather personally have him reveal it to us as to everyone else. You ever heard anybody, you ain't never heard of this, you ever heard anybody say, hey, the Lord gave me a word for you. Let's go sit over on the side. I'm not supposed to say it and to you with any witnesses.
Oh.
That's a lie. That's a lie. The Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches the opposite. Mm-hmm. It says that when the Spirit's moving, that we should take a witness to witness what God has given you to say to somebody else. Mm-hmm. I remember we were at camp years ago, Jay Davison was sitting next to me, and I go, oh, Lord. And I said, Jay, the Lord's just given me a word for that individual. He said, well, let's go. Well, anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And then he went to picking on his guitar and three of the strings broke because the Lord told me to tell him, put down the guitar and get into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Then he proclaimed the next morning, because we had services in the morning too, he said, that's not going to happen because I put five new strings on it.
Mm-hmm.
He started picking on that and all five of them broke. Jay sat next to me and he says, don't mess with God. But you know what? That's no lie. That's exactly how God works. I mean, we're either going to be faithful to him, who is the Lord and Savior of our lives, or we're going to yield to the other master. And sometimes I think that's a lot of pride.
Well, it's ego and pride.
I mean, pride. I mean, it gets in the way. And I mean, you know, Debbie knows it, because I can never do the things I used to do. And at one time, I thought, oh, no, I can't give that up. I can't give that up. Well, you give it up or you don't exist. And so I said, okay, I'd rather be here with her and you guys than not be here. Even though, I mean, I wouldn't be in a I don't think I'd be in a bad place being with God and, you know, the others that have went on. But the whole thing is, I mean, God's got a purpose for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it's kind of, I'm not sure what the word I want to use, but it's kind of backward for us to think God's not going to bring it to completion. That's what he's begin in all of us. He'll bring it to a completion. So we get to glorify God for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
With every cell of our body and every spirit that wants to worship him in trueness, mm-hmm, and just love.
Debbie, would you read 5:33 through 5:37.
King James is what I have.
Yeah, that's good.
Again, you've heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because you can't make one hair white or black.
Hey.
But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. I can attest to that. I mean, sometimes your mouth just gets you in trouble, and you should keep
Amen.
It closed until you have words of encouragement or whatever. And by the way, if anyone wanted to know what he can't do anymore, it's climb under the sink and fix the faucet. Sometimes you have to call the man.
I learned that lesson about a year ago. Got under there and couldn't get out.
Well, that's even a humbling process, and it's a costly one. But the facts are this. I go, like as I said, my brother and me was talking about his son. He's trying to teach his son how to work on a car. And he said, so his son brought the car over and was putting it in the garage. And he said, That's the last he seen him. 4 hours later, I walked in the house and he's sitting there talking with his mom. He said, Dave, he goes, yeah. He said, what have you learned about your car? He said, well, nothing, Dad. He said, well, you better make a whole lot of money because of what I'm doing out there. You're going to have to pay somebody to do that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm not always going to be with you to do this. Mm-hmm. Or the ability to do it. You have the knowledge, but can't do it. Amen.
I got a call from Mark a while back, and he said, Holden needs to put an alternator on his car. He said, will you help him? I said, yeah, I'll show him. I mean, I'll tell him. Mm-hmm. And I told him. I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I told him. And he put it on there. Mm-hmm. You know, and see, that's the problem sometimes. You know, you should be willing to teach somebody mm-hmm. how to do it. And in teaching, not you do it. Mm-hmm. You watch them do it mm-hmm. and tell them what to do. And he put his alternator on. Well, it probably saved him. They bought the alternator. They got it from, I think they might have got it from Amazon or something like that. But he got it for, I don't know, pretty low price, you know, compared to if you went out and bought one, you'd probably pay hundreds of dollars, mm-hmm. hundreds of dollars. And then if you had somebody put it on, that'd be about another $400 or $500 or whatever. So he'd probably had about $1,000. Well, he ended up having maybe $100-some dollars in it. You know, and if his alternator ever goes out again, guess what? He'll know how to put an alternator on, you know.
What?
And you know, and that's the thing sometimes, even what people don't realize is that we are all supposed to be teaching the people around us how to do the things that we've learned, you know, over the years. And you know, when I used to hear Brother Eddie talk a lot of times, I was more interested, I'm not that interested in what he was saying, really, as much as I was, how did you come to know that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, that's the important thing, because, you know, if you learn how somebody came to know it, then you can take that same route, you know, and, you know, it's more important sometimes to know how they came to know it. I had some of the guys in church years ago come to me and said, Oscar, how do you know the things that you know, and how do you find out all this stuff? And Brother Eddie asked me one time, he said, Oscar, he says, you do some things, you tell some things sometimes. He said, I went to seminary, and he said, I didn't learn that in seminary. He's told me that before. And I said, well, Brother Eddie, there's a lot of things available today, and I said, that's there, and it's easy to find out things. You don't have to be a scholar in Greek. You know, you speak English every day. Are you an English scholar? No. If you don't know what a word means, what do? You go to the dictionary, you go to your Google and say, this word, what's it mean?
That's right.
You know, and guess what? It tells you. and you know, they actually asked me, well, can you, I think it was two of them came. One of them was Gary Smith. And I think the other one was Buzzy.
That's right.
They came and they asked me, would I teach them how to study? And I said, well, I'll tell you how I do it. I can't really teach you how to study, but I can tell you what I do. And I told him, I said, I ask a bunch of questions in my mind as I'm doing this. Who, what, why, where, and how does it apply to me? You know what I mean? And I'm asking God those questions. I'm asking him that as I look at the Word. And that's why sometimes there's times when I'll see something and other people don't see it. But it's because I'm asking the person that knows. You know, he knows. I could go and ask another brother or another sister a lot of times, and they might tell me a whole bunch of different things. But I tell you what, you know, it's like what you said about the woman with the issue of blood. You know, when I took a look at that scripture one time, I felt like the Lord let me know. He said, that woman that was the issue of, had the issue of blood, that's the church. She's always pouring out her life. Pouring out her life. Not my life, her life. Mm-hmm. And it's wearing her out. It's killing her.
Right.
She goes to every place she can to try to get it stopped. And yet, what she said, she spent almost her whole fortune or whatever she had.
Spent 12 years like that.
Yeah, 12 years. 12 is a number for what? Governmental perfection. I mean, and see, when you look at those from a different perspective, man, you just see so many different things, and you think, oh my God, when I, you know, sometimes if I'm trying to make this happen, then what am I doing? I'm pouring out my blood, you know, I'm pouring out my life. Mm-hmm. And you know what I need to do? I need to only pour, be a conduit to pour out His life. Because if you pour out His life, guess what? It's going to create more life, you know.
Isn't it amazing? Well, God's got a plan, but isn't it amazing that her whole thing was poured out to the church already, and yet she went to the head of the church, who's Jesus Christ, is the head of the church, and He felt that virtue. So the head of the church, I might as well say, the head of the church will always feel virtue going out. You know why? Because there's trust and faith coming in. We need to trust the Lord with our whole heart, quit leaning into our own understanding, and in all our ways acknowledge Him. And what's it say the rest of the step is?
He'll direct.
He'll direct all our paths, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good place to be.
Well, see, even when she touched the hem of His garment, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be made whole.
Uh-huh.
Well, the minute that I really begin to ponder over that, the Lord said, you know, Jesus Christ was the true high priest.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Old Testament, the high priest, the hem of His garment, He had a pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell, all the way around the hem of His garment. And a pomegranate is the most seedy thing. It's one of the most seedy fruits there is. It's almost all seeds when you could break it open. And what's that speak of? That speaks of life, bringing forth new life. And a bell. And that word for bell there, if you go and you look at it, is a golden bell too. See, it was a golden bell. So gold is talking about the divine nature of God. And the bell, it's a message. It lets people know something. But also, what is it? It has a meaning of the word a hundredfold. Are you willing to reach into the realm and get a hold of a hundredfold, which is the fullness of Him, you know? And boy, when you touch that, you're gonna be made whole. And then church is gonna have to touch that to ever be made totally whole, because it's going to keep pouring out its life out there instead of pouring out His life.
It talks about 30, 60, and 100.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know we're not on this, but the 30% is basically getting to know Him. You talked about it and split it into His perfect, His will.
Like, it's good, acceptable, and perfect will. And then also the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies.
Right.
Well, the outer court was for everybody. Mm-hmm. He went without the outer court and was and died out there, you know, and was resurrected. They would make that sacrifice for the outer court, see? And that meant that anybody was going to get that, the blessing from that, you know, the release from that. The inner court was the priestly realm. You know, and what was in the priestly realm? Showbread, and you know, the table of showbread, the showbread, and all the different stuff. The lampstand, which was a type of the church, you know, and people come from the outer court into the church, look at Zechariah or whatever when he talks about the lamp in there. It talks, and I love what it says in the Amplified Bible. It talks about it had pipes going into the two trees, one tree on the right side and one tree on the left side, and those trees supplied a ceaseless supply of oil, and that was pouring it into the church. And really, what that's talking about, and I mean, you know, you could preach, like I say, you could preach a whole sermon on it, but what that was talking about, it was talking about that He was pouring in from one side. And the sons of God are pouring in from the other side, see? And that's what's going to illuminate the church, you know? Because creation's waiting and travailing for that manifestation for the sons of God. Up in Revelation, it talks about the two witnesses, you know? That's those two witnesses, you know? And I like what Miles used to say, the two witnesses were faith, which worketh by love. Who's the author and finisher of our faith? Who was Jesus? He was the what? The love of God revealed.
Right.
You know, and until we get to the place where we believe that our faith is going to be finished, and can show the love of God, then those two witnesses, that those two trees are going to pour that oil in there. And I mean, you know, it's very simple, really. It's really so simple that most people don't see it in the church, but it's really simple, you know. And a lot of the answers to a lot of that stuff is just so, it's just right there if you have eyes to see it, you know. But all this stuff here that we're going through right here, this is still, he's talking to people under the law.
Right.
And he's dealing with them on their level of being under the law. Mm-hmm. And we have to realize that. That doesn't mean that we should go out and do this, that you should divorce your wife because you had a little argument or something, you know, if you got a good Christian wife or something. But you know, he knows all this stuff. And he knew what you were going to do from the time before you were ever stepped into this earth. He knew exactly what you were going to do. Mm-hmm. And he knew the day he was going to get a hold of you. He knew the person that he would put you with. You didn't pick Kathy. God picked Kathy for you. Kathy didn't pick you. God picked you for her. You
know? That's right. Hey, Kathy. Can I read this out of the Living Bible?
Absolutely.
I'm not going to read what she talked about. Don't even swear. Well, I will. By my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black.
Yeah.
Just say, I love this. Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Your word is enough.
That's exactly
Excuse
what
me.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Have you ever felt like your word was enough? I felt that a lot. But you know what? I like what Oscar says. He says it about driving a car, you got to put some behind it. But I say you got to put your feet in it. You should be able to walk out your word. If people see you walk out your word, they know that they're going to pay a lot of attention to you. You don't have to say ring a bell or whatever to get their attention. You go like it. It's going to be there. And it says, your word is enough to strengthen, listen to what it says, to strengthen your promise with a vow shows that something is wrong.
Amen. That, you know,
not
that
you're assuring them, but you're having reassurance for yourself because you're having doubts of your own word.
That was exactly the verse I wanted to get to. Because that is the verse that I thought was the key verse.
Before you go there, can I just say, we're not the same couple as we were the day we got married.
Amen.
And God's word saved me. The direction of my life. Because, you know, you don't always get along when you're first married.
Agreement.
And he was out playing ball one Sunday, and I was sitting in church thinking to myself, why did I marry him? Why did I marry him? Some days I don't even like him.
I hope that was in the first 3 years.
I've had that been told to me before.
Anyway, I don't even think I went to this verse, but it came to me. You stood up in front of a bunch of people and made a vow before God to love this man and to stay with him. And that caused me to stay. Because that word had gotten, even if it wasn't that exact verse, it had gotten into my heart. And I just thank God for that.
I was thinking about something that you told us one. I know you told me or told some of us one time, where you said you got angry at him and you got your marriage license and you wrote void across it. And
wait, turn this off.
And you know what? You might have thought that at that point, but God didn't.
So right.
You know what? I can actually, if I comment on that.
I smile and say
that. I like that.
God, she might have meant it because in her heart she was hurt. And I would say we meant it. She meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Right.
You don't know how many people have asked me to see your marriage license. I'm not kidding you. And they never knew. Somebody might have hinted, you need to see their marriage license. Because I'll tell you what keeps you together is not a ring on the finger. It's not a piece of paper. But I believe it is the love of God.
Yes.
Well, Let me tell you this concerning Margaret. Margaret, a lot of times she downplays herself. She thinks she don't know a lot, and she's very, she, sometimes she is just so wise with some of the stuff that she does and some of the things she says. I mean, it astounds me once in a while, I'll be honest with you. I mean, she's just a very wise person, more than she thinks she is. But you know, like when we first got married, everywhere I went, she went with me. And she said, concern, you know, my brother, you know, I love my brother, but he was always kind of had roving attitude toward women. You know, he was always sort of flirting with everybody and, you know, and that kind of stuff. And Margaret said to me, he was married 3 times. And she said to me, she says, if I was married to your brother, she said, if I was married to your brother, I would be in his back pocket. He would go nowhere without me. Now, maybe she was saying that about me because she went everywhere I went. She probably kept me straight. I don't know. But we drag raced and did all kind of things. She went to the drag strip with us. You know, we was always together. When I played softball, she was at all the softball games. She was always there. You know, well, you know, I wasn't a Christian when that stuff was going on, you know. And I might have had those same inclinations had she not been there. Who knows, you know? But God knew, and He put the right person there at the right time. And some of the guys that I grew up with, you know, they got in some pretty rough stuff, you know. And me and Margaret, from the time I was 14, we went together, and God kept us. We was together all the time, and that kept me from going running around with these other guys and all this stuff. And that's like why when Randy got in touch with me, that, you know, we were real good friends and stuff. When Randy got in touch with me, he says, I went the bad way and you went the good way. Well, God, it's put Margaret there to keep me in a good way, you know, because I might have been out doing the same stuff he was doing. Who knows? You know, but God knows. I mean, that's the thing we got to realize. The scripture, I can't remember the exact quote of it, but it's in Proverbs, I think it is, where it says, steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. I think it says the steps of a good man, but I don't think it really says that. I think it says the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. And a lot of times God knew all the steps you were going to make, you were going to take, you guys were going to take. and it was the right thing to get you to where you are today.
Oh, no question.
And when you look at it that way, you don't have to feel any condemnation, or you don't have to feel guilt or anything, because God got you right where He wants you, you know.
The night I met her, it had to be divine, because because there must have been 100 cars in the parking lot, and I double parked behind hers. So,
That's a good way to meet women.
You hadn't been stalking her now and following her around so you could park behind her. No, I'm just kidding. No,
I liked her car better than mine.
Yeah.
You like the voided marriage? His, let's just say, a friend.
Papa.
Wife wrote on the inside of a lampshade.
Oh, no,
it's the husband to the wife.
Yeah.
I hate Susie. So every time you turn the light on, it blared out, I hate Susie.
Yeah. You know, you can look back at some of the stuff that you did, and it's actually funny now when you think about it, but it really wasn't funny when it was going on, you know. But I hope you didn't mind me saying that, because you told it a few different times, I know. I wouldn't have said it, but yeah.
Well, guys, I think it's time.
Mm-hmm.
We have completed this. What a great morning to share with us the Word of God. Thank goodness, thank God, that we are in the New Testament life.
Yeah.
Because the eye for an eye doesn't...
We'd all be blind.
Who's going to close us in prayer? Buddy, would you?
Well, just thank you for your word, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And thank you for your goodness and your mercy.
Mm-hmm.
We just... sometimes have to laugh at ourselves for things that we think, but it's not from you, Father. Just Well, it just keep us at our knee and at your footstool, Father. Mm-hmm. Just bless us and just give us a word, Father, and mature us. Yes. We shall not fail to give you the praise and the glory, Father. For in your hand it is your